The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we might mix in some stuff today. And, of course, there's some sports. Let's do it all. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Tyler Scott is now producing the show. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It was going to happen. Let's get it out of the way now. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
That was worse than your Kevin Hart mix-up.
Not really. No, it wasn't. Nothing was worse than that. But it was going to happen. I was going to either that or give out his Twitter handle.
Yeah.
But if you want to get in, you know the number. You can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at producer T Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Do we still do the Degenerates 975 one?
We may have to get the password for that account.
Okay. So I won't give that one out.
What's worse, you saying that or Cody almost saying in the loop?
No, that's worse. That's worse because that's not even the right station. We're only 2 days removed here.
That's true.
So, you know. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. What's happening?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on?
I just love getting off to a great start like that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, no awkwardness at all.
I mean, it's only going to partially suck the rest of the way then.
Okay, yeah.
How's that?
If that's the worst of it, we'll survive this.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame announcement at 5 today. I know you're excited about that.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't look like any of the guys who should get in are going to get in, so there's that.
How many? What's the over-under on how many get in?
Last I saw, the projections were...
I mean,
it looked
we're
like
guessing...
4.
Okay, Mariano is a lock, right?
Right.
Edgar Martinez looks likely.
Yeah.
Roy Halladay looks likely, although I can say this. I don't feel bad about saying this. Who cares? He's dead. He's not going to hear
anything. Yeah, he's not going to suddenly pop up and say, hey, I can't believe you said that about me.
If Roy Halladay were still alive, he might eventually get in. He wouldn't be getting in right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I had him on my little thing that we did for
Sports Map. But because he's dead.
Sports Map.
Like, I'm saying the way these guys work.
Yeah, yeah.
Normally a guy with his resume, and he's good, and you can make a real argument that he's a Hall of Famer, and I'm fine with that. But a guy with his resume that's not a total lockdown, slam dunk Hall of Fame resume, they don't get in the first year. But because he's dead, I think he's going to be in automatically.
Probably so.
And then, I don't know. I think the I'm guessing that the Bonds and Clemenses of the world come in about 70%.
Yeah.
Which isn't enough.
No, and that sucks. And by the way, we all did our our ballots would be on Sports Map, and it's on the editor's picks if you want to go see. AJ had 2 people on his.
I had 2,
yeah.
And it looks like they're both going to miss out. I've seen a lot of people say Mike Mussina might get in.
Yeah, he was a close cut for me. And I don't believe that you should put 10 people on there ever.
Okay, so...
I had 5.
You saw those Yankees teams, and they were on a lot of them together. Mike Mussina better than Andy Pettit career?
I think they're kind of the same.
Okay.
I wouldn't put either one of them in. How's that?
I think that's more fair than one getting in and one
right,
not.
Right. I had Clemens, Bonds, Rivera, Halladay, Manny Ramirez.
I think they're both really good pitchers, but I don't think I look at them as... lock Hall of Famers. From what I've seen is you've got to get a 5% minimum to remain on the ballot beyond this year.
Yeah.
And a couple former Astros look like they will not be back on the ballot after this year. Roy Oswalt, one of those.
Yeah.
Looks like he's going to come up short of 5%. And Lance Berkman looks like he's going to come up short of 5%.
See, I don't think he's I don't think Berkman should be off there. I think he's it's a stretch to put him in, but I don't think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So to be under 5%,
to me, Lance Berkman was a pretty good player for a while. I don't know that he was ever like in the conversation even for best player in the league. He was a good player.
And
he had the 1 year where he hit a bunch of home runs, like he got into the 40s or something, and I was like, oh, where'd that come from? But for the most part, I think, eh. And then like when he stuck around the last couple of years, like St. Louis and then in Texas, it wasn't good. So I don't know. I mean, to me, he's not a Hall of Famer, so if he falls off year one or year 20, it's all the same.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'd rather him not. I mean, wouldn't you rather know right away if they think you're a Hall of Famer or not? Because
yeah, if you just hang around and hang around.
Now, there is the off chance that they're going to, you know, year 20 feel sorry for you and go, man, Tim Raines, you've been on the ballot 20 years, buddy. We're going to throw you a bone here. You're a phony Hall of Famer, but we're throwing you a bone.
And cocaine is not a performance enhancer.
No, so. Well, technically, I disagree.
Okay.
I disagree. But yeah, it looks like those guys are going to be left off the list. So we'll know more later on today, I guess. But
yeah, 5 o'clock our time, I believe, is when it's announced. And, okay. So we'll know. And just looking at some of those early projections, that it looks like Rivera, Halliday, Martinez. And I mean, Edgar Martinez, I don't get, but okay. And long-ass career as a DH, but... You know. Yeah, Brother Bears is very good, not Hall of Fame worthy. I think there's a lot of guys that get in that aren't Hall of Fame worthy.
I agree.
And
when you say
I say that for every Hall, I think it should be the best of the best.
The Football Hall of Fame is pretty good about it because there's a limit on how many can get in any given year.
Yeah.
So honestly, I think they are the best about it. But yeah, I mean, these other ones, it's willy nilly sometimes. Yeah. You know, like and. You know, like you said about Edgar Martinez. Edgar Martinez was a really good hitter for a long time. A DH. I mean, so obviously not much to add on that side. Do I think he was like one of the greatest players who's ever played the game? Like he should be just enshrined forever? Probably not. But I didn't feel that way about Craig Biggio either.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, at least in his case, in the past, there have been certain numbers that if you get to them, you get in the Hall of Fame. Now, I do like that. That if you say, okay, you get 3,000 hits. You're getting in because that's a standard that you've set. It's a statistical standard. You're going to laugh at this. I think the LPGA used to have it best of all. You had to win a certain amount of tournaments and a certain amount of majors before you got in their Hall of Fame.
I'm good with that too.
Yeah. And I kind of wish
we should make these baseball players do that.
Well, that's
if they don't win golf tournaments. Hey,
exactly. If you don't win a major golf tournament, you can't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But you could put some kind of standards on it where you had to at least do this.
Romo's best way into the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, probably so. But
although the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame is always available, and he's doing pretty, he's off to a good start there.
Yeah, have to be in the top three in MVP voting at least three times in your career.
I think that's fair too.
I mean, stuff like that. You could make those standards, and it would work out pretty well. The other news, and we'll,
or even like you have to have been an MVP at some point. Although then maybe you're saying, well, if you play in the era of so and so, if you played in Barry Bonds era,
yeah. The problem with that is, okay, let's say Mike Trout and let's say Harper and Trout wind up in the same league.
Yeah.
And they wind up being the two best players in the league for 10 more years and put up ridiculous numbers. They're probably both Hall of Famers at that point. And what if Trout won all the MVPs and Harper didn't win any?
Yeah.
Because he was second in every one. So I think top three times in your career. That seems like a pretty good standard to me.
Lance Berkman, third in 2002. Third in 2006. No other third or better.
Okay. Out. Dead.
Out.
And for pitchers, you had
to. God, I'm looking at that.
You had to.
Lance Berkman was only a six-time All-Star.
Okay.
In 14 years. That's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah. Brother Bear says it's chicken bleep for the baseball writers to not vote Clemens and Bonds into the Hall. I agree.
I mean, those are the best players. Yeah. Let's stop playing around with, well, I think they did steroids. Well, I think everybody did steroids. And Roger Clemens struck out a bunch of steroid heads. And Barry Bonds homered off a bunch of steroid heads. So put those guys in.
They're cheaters. They're cheaters,
then
AJ.
Then let's open up the conversation to everybody else.
Yeah, my stance on that is pretty much well known, so I'm not going to hit it again. But, yeah, I think it's silly, and I agree with Brother Bear. 713-780-ESPN. You know what we have? You know what else we have we can talk about next segment? The Academy Award nominations are out.
Okay.
I have odds on my bookie.
Let's do it.
You can go on there and bet. And I'm curious about how many of these you've seen.
I'm always curious about that. I feel like last year was a disaster. I had hardly seen any of them.
I think I've seen one on the, no, two, because Black Panther is one of them.
Is Bird Box nominated?
Not nominated.
I don't know if it made the deadline.
I haven't seen it yet anyway. I was just wondering. What about the Halloween remake? I saw that. Not nominated for Best Picture?
Nope.
Garbage.
You know what? Whoever,
you know, you don't feel like garbage. You know why?
Because of Cheers.
That's right.
And I never feel like garbage if I've been drinking, which I haven't been today. But if I had been, I would be taking Cheers. And it used to be Thrive Plus. You know the Thrive Plus we talked about. Same great product, bringing in the new year with a new name, Cheers. It's a supplement designed to reduce the negative effects of alcohol and help you, me, and the 60% of Americans who drink feel better the next day. And believe me, Cheers works. But you don't have to take my word for it. It's developed by a team of five PhDs and Ivy League scientists. You probably saw them on Shark Tank. And it was funny. I was looking at the book today, and most of the people who are buying the book on Amazon, they're also buying Cheers, which is not a surprise. Popped up right next to it and said, these people also bought Cheers. It gives your liver exactly what it needs to process alcohol. And you basically take three capsules after your last alcoholic beverage or before you go to bed. If you don't feel at least 50% better, company's going to give you your money back. Plus, they're based right here in Houston. So if you order it by 4 o'clock, you're going to get it the next day. Just go to cheershealth.com. That's cheershealth.com. With Cheers, you're going to feel better when you wake up, and your liver's going to thank you. I don't drink without Cheers, and neither should you.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Smith has six-time All-Stars and Hall of Fame worthy in a 15-year career. Not in my mind. You need to... It ought to be at least 50%. And it's not like All-Star appearances are...
Yeah, I mean...
That huge. I mean, in baseball, they're a little... better than like the Pro Bowl. Obviously 50 people get in because like Deshaun Watson got in. Remember the big, I can't believe Andrew Luck didn't get in. Yeah, he got in because somebody wasn't going to play. But that one at least is a little harder, but six all-time all-star is not great in my opinion. It's good. It's not Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah, I mean, he was a good player for a long time.
That doesn't mean... But here's the other thing. That's not in any way to denigrate what a good player he was. He just, in my mind, didn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
So doesn't mean you're not good. And, I mean, you know, I think of another Astros guy. And it's easy. When it's your team, when it's your favorite team, you think all these guys should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, I watched him every day, and he was
great.
That's
the way fans are. You know, like, you always value the guy more than... what his actual baseball value was. Like I've told this before. When I was a kid, you couldn't convince me that Jose Cruz wasn't the best player in the world. I mean, he was, in my opinion...
He was the best Astro at the time.
He was the best Astro, but to a kid, that means he's the best player. And
did you just call all of our listeners children?
Well, I mean, when you think like that, that's what you're thinking.
But you know, we talked about this before. Whenever you have this argument about greatest players of all time, it's always It's always who you watched when you were like 10 years old to 15 when you were really becoming a sports fan. And that's the one you're always going to rate higher. That's just human nature, I think. All right, so I have these. Well, first off, a couple people asking, how's my grandmother? She's actually in surgery right now, so I don't know. Hopefully it'll go well. I have your odds here for the Academy Awards.
All right.
Here are your finalists for Best Picture. At minus 120, Roma, which I think is a foreign film. I haven't seen it. It doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in, but it's the favorite. Green Book is plus 350.
I haven't seen that either.
Haven't seen that. A Star is Born, plus 700.
I haven't seen that, but I've heard of it.
Seen the original. Heard Bradley Cooper could really sing in it. Really interested in it.
Heard Lady Gaga is good.
Well, she can sing, too.
Yeah.
At plus 800, The Favorite.
Oh, but not The Favorite in the betting.
No, it's The Favorite is the movie. I don't know the movie, but it has a U in it, so it's got to be British, right?
Yeah, probably
so. So it's the Favo, you're right.
Okay.
Plus 1,200, Black Klansman, which I saw. I thought that was
fantastic. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I do want to watch that one.
Yeah, that movie was really good. Bohemian Rhapsody, plus 1,600.
Ooh, I have seen that. I don't know if it's like best picture worthy, but it's a good movie.
Black Panther, plus 3,300.
Again, a superhero movie's never going to win
best picture. No, and but it wasn't even the best superhero movie of the year. That was Infinity War. And then Vice, plus 3,300.
What you just said is racist, but okay.
No, it's not racist. Nope, it's the truth. And Black Panther was in Infinity War. I hate to break it to you.
Listen.
So was Wakanda.
If I'm going to be accused of racism, so are you, sir.
No. Don't drag me into your mire of hatred.
Welcome to it.
No. You have that label now. You live with it. You
know,
I will go on as being the non-racist one. You can be the racist one.
I believe I was referred to as David Duke Jr. yesterday.
Yeah. Well, if the white hood fits. Yep.
Yeah,
Vice plus 3,300.
See what you did there.
So I have not seen Vice yet. I want to. It looks pretty good, but I have no interest in Roma or Green Book.
Yeah.
And those are the favorites. Your best director, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, minus 1,400.
Damn, Alfonso. Got it going on.
Yeah. Spike Lee for Black Klansman is plus 800. Adam McKay, Vice, plus 2,000. Powell Palakowski for Cold War, plus 2,000. And Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite, plus 2,500. They're going very heavy for
the foreign films.
Foreigners, yeah.
Well,
that's racist of them.
That is pretty
racist. Anti-American.
Supposedly, the Roma film, it's basically just the guy who directed it, it's like his love letter to this one little tiny suburb in Mexico. And so basically nobody else will understand what he's doing with the film. But apparently they think they do because it's nominated for all this stuff. So,
all right. That's exciting.
Yeah. That doesn't make me want to watch it at all. Your best actor, Christian Bale, is plus 100 for Vice. Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, plus 120. Bradley Cooper, Star is Born, plus 600. Viggo Mortensen for Green Book, plus 1400. I thought his career was over, so I guess he came back. And Willem Dafoe for At Eternity's Gate, which I also have not seen, plus 3300.
Yeah.
Also
haven't seen that.
And then your best actress, Glenn Close, for The Wife.
I haven't seen that movie, but I can already tell I don't like it.
Yeah, anything called The Wife, I'm out on. minus 250. Olivia Colman for The Favorite. Lady Gaga is your third choice. Yalitza Aparicio from Roma. And then Miss Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? Plus 3,300.
Never.
I didn't see that.
Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah, she got nominated. You know what?
Is this the one where she like crashes through the wall and falls on the coffee table and it splits in half?
Are you thinking of a Kool-Aid Man commercial?
I mean, that's what it's... I mean, isn't that most Melissa McCarthy movies? Like, she comes in and she's loud and she, you know...
No, I think this is the one where she goes back to college with her daughter and then hilarity ensues. Or maybe she... It might be the one where she teamed up with Sandra Bullock and, you know, they kind of were a...
Or the one where she's she's like a delinquent and the cops are out after her or something.
Or there's also the one where she goes out and busts ghosts with friends.
There is that one.
I hope
that one's not nominated.
All kidding aside, I find myself laughing at her movies. They're all kind of formulaic. They're all kind of the same thing, but I find her funny.
That's okay. That's allowed.
But this is not, I don't think this is funny, so I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
And no, I could never forgive her for doing that kind of movie. Your best supporting actor, guy from Green Book, guy from Can You Ever Forgive Me? Nobody really important. Amy Adams is from Vice, is best supporting actress. Pretty good group there. Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone.
Here's what I've decided. I don't care about the Academy Awards this year.
Yeah?
Because I haven't seen enough movies, and I just like.
But see, I always start with that. But by the time they roll around, I've watched a bunch of them. Because DirecTV is really good about putting them on demand once they know what they are. So I'll go through and watch a bunch of these.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that I've seen enough movies, and the ones that I have seen don't seem like they have much of a chance to win. So I don't think I care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see Roma. I got no interest in it. I don't really.
And it sounds like that's going to win.
Or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, this is tough for me. I usually don't like award shows, but I usually stomach through that one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm going
to. I don't ever watch a show.
You just always pick it up after and just look at the winners.
Yeah, I just want to know who wins. I don't care about the speeches or any of
that
stuff.
That's fair.
Somebody said director of Roma also wrote, produced, and directed Gravity a few years ago. A lot of people tell me I like Roma, so. All right. Well, we shall see. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. MGT says Terrell Davis played 6 years and made the Hall of Fame. Okay, first off, you can't compare baseball hall to football hall. It says, if you had a 5-year or so stretch of your career where you're one of the best at your position, you'll be considered any sport, not far-fetched for Berkman to be on ballots. I do think it's far-fetched because to me, and again, my standard for Hall of Fame, you should be one of the very best at your position for an extended period of time to even be considered. And in Terrell Davis's case, as great as he was, his career wasn't long enough.
Yeah, I don't think he should be in.
I wouldn't have put him in.
But you know what? Here's the other thing. I mean,
he also won 2 Super Bowls and ran for 2,000 yards.
Exactly.
And those are the kind of numbers that, you know, Lance Berkman didn't have comparable numbers at any point in his career to that.
Yeah.
So.
He was a 3-time All-Pro, which means he was the best at his position in the league.
Yeah.
I don't know if you go through year by year with Lance Berkman if he was ever the best position. He was never the best outfielder in the league. He just wasn't. So,
yeah, I just don't think it's a fair comparison.
I don't either, but arguing for Terrell Davis does you no good because I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame either.
Mm.
I argue if you're the best for a long time, for an extended time, like there's guys, Calvin Johnson example here. Calvin Johnson's career isn't very long, but basically for his entire career, he was the best receiver in football. To me, that's a Hall of Famer. Like he's one of the best wide receivers that's ever played. I don't know if Terrell Davis. I don't know if there's enough proof that he was one of the best running backs ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I don't know about Johnson at this point because that position is so loaded.
It is,
and you know the guys that weren't in, it's still ridiculous to me, some of the guys who haven't made it in.
He quit too early, too.
But here's the thing for me with like a guy like Calvin. Had Calvin just stuck around and played 3 more years at an average level, he's going to get in the Hall of Fame. He just decided, I'm good. I've done enough. And walks away. It's tough.
Cody says, Melissa McCarthy is the female Vince Vaughn.
I think she's like the female Chris Farley.
I'm going to go with female John C. Reilly.
That one's good, too.
Because
Will Ferrell, either
yeah,
one.
Yeah, well, but John C. Reilly, he's another one that, for some reason, if he's in something, I'm going to think it's funny. I'm going to watch it, even if it's bad. And I kind of feel that way about her. It's like she makes me laugh.
But here's why it's maybe more Will Ferrell than John C. Reilly, because now she's starting to do serious movies.
Yeah, well, I don't really like him doing serious movies.
Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
No, me neither. I don't want any funny people doing serious movies.
I mean, Spanglish is what killed Adam Sandler's career.
Yeah.
I mean, he still makes a bunch of money, but he hasn't been funny since
right.
then.
I didn't really like when Bradley Cooper went from doing The Hangover to now he's...
Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good movie, but
yeah.
And then he did American Sniper. Now he doesn't even do funny movies anymore.
Well, he was Rocket.
He's the rabbit.
Come on. That doesn't even count.
Oh, come on. He's a raccoon.
That doesn't count.
He's cute. He's like a cute little feller.
Or do your read.
What do I have here? Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I can tell you all about my man, Lawyer Dave, who usually would be joining me, but I guarantee you he's out doing something to help the Blitzers right now because that's what he does. And he represents Blitzers who've been in all kinds of accidents, cars, 18-wheelers, industrial workplace, slip and fall accidents. If you've been in a hospital and you've been hurt by bad drugs, a bad doctor, or hospital negligence, he can take care of you. And listen, guys, if you're in that accident and you think, man, I can't afford to go to a doctor. Well, if Lawyer Dave takes your case, he's going to put you with a doctor. They're going to take care of all that. He doesn't charge for consultations, so he doesn't get a dime unless you win. So if he takes your case, then he's not getting paid unless you win. So he's a great guy to have on your team because, for one thing, he's damn good at his job, and it doesn't cost you anything, and you can get what you deserve. And trust me, the insurance companies have lawyers, so you need a lawyer to fight them. He's based right here in Houston, and but he practices all over Texas. So guys over in Beaumont, Golden Triangle, Lawyer Dave can take care of you. Give him a call, 713-626-8900, 713-626-8900, or on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law, or you can go to lawyerdave.com. Need a lawyer? Better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Matt Pauly.
Tune in to The Usual Suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack starting at 1 on ESPN 97.5. The Houston Rockets lose at Philadelphia yesterday 121-93 despite James Harden scoring 37 points. That gives him 20 straight games with at least 30. Kenneth Vareed, he makes his Rockets debut last night, has 13 points and 6 rebounds in 23 minutes. Up next for the Rockets, they head to Madison Square Garden for a matchup against the Knicks coming up tomorrow. The San Antonio Spurs, they also return to action tomorrow when they go to Philadelphia. College basketball tonight, Texas A&M at Florida, and Texas Tech is on the road at Kansas State. I'm Matt Pauly with this sports update on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Did you see that the NFL's investigating that somebody was pointing a laser at Tom Brady during the game? That there was like the green laser pointer thing?
I didn't notice it.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more. I know it's a big soccer thing because it happened when the Texans played in Mexico.
It's so lame.
And apparently that's, you know, the cool thing to do down there.
No, it's not cool ever.
It is dumb. I think people who do that should be executed. I think
seems excessive.
No, I think execution.
Speaking of execution, this story. Well, I'll just read it.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Gail Griffin?
I am not.
She's also known as Arizona State Senator Gail Griffin.
Okay. I like to call her Gigi.
She has proposed a bill that would tax anyone viewing porn on an electronic device in the state of Arizona. The bill suggests using software to block pornographic websites until the user's age is confirmed and a fee of at least $20 is paid. Border Security is ranked as the first program on the list to be funded by the porn tax, including contribution to a border wall. Those in violation, including anyone who deactivates the blocker, would face a misdemeanor charge. Other things that could be funded include programs to prevent human trafficking, domestic violence, prostitution, child abuse, and sexual assault. Those make more sense, at least. But don't try to make porn watchers build the wall. They don't want that. Let them do what they want to do.
That's one of those things is not like the other.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah.
So to that I say, hey, man.
Yeah. What is...
Hey, man. That.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but I bet I know what she looks like. I bet I could describe her. Frumpy, mousy, probably has glasses. It's even worse than I thought.
Yeah.
Definitely frumpy.
Yeah.
I don't know where she got that hair from.
She's got the really round hair. It's almost like, you know how the princess on Mario has that round hair? It's kind of like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Or maybe it's Toad that I'm thinking of that has the round head.
Very Toad-like in her appearance.
Not like a Toad, but like Toad on Mario.
Ah, okay. No, like a Toad. I'm going to go with a Toad. Unless you think that's racist.
No.
Okay. We're good then.
She's white.
Want to let everybody know we will be out at Sam Houston Race Park Friday for opening day.
Yes, sir.
I already have my picks in for Friday. So looking forward to that. And
are they money in the bank already? If they've already been played?
No, I'm not crazy about the first night's card. But Sunday I will also be out there for a couple hours. And I love the Sunday card.
Okay. Well, now we're talking.
Yeah, that there's and not just the fact that there's a bunch of big stakes races. There's a couple of other races on the card where I've got like 8-to-1 shots that I absolutely love. So we'll see how it plays out. But yeah, we'll be out there from 4 to 7 doing the show, and then I'll be at Sam Houston 1 to 3 on Sunday.
Okay.
So and I'll bring some I will be bringing a few books here and there if you want to buy it for the racetrack. I'm not going to do a whole bunch until we do the big release party on February 9th. But if you want to buy the book, the only reason I'm not bringing a bunch is because I'm not set up for credit cards yet. So it has to be like cash, PayPal, or Venmo. But if you come out to the track Saturday, Friday and you want a book, I'll have a few.
All right.
So,
hey, have you paid much attention to the betting odds? On the Super Bowl?
A little bit.
What I'm reading here is the betting market is so heavy on the Patriots that we are likely to see a plus three soon. We saw one today for 9 minutes. It was plus three. But apparently that's what it's going to... It could end up sitting there for at least a while. The line is still projected to go off around 2, maybe even 1, but they do expect a 3 at some point. So depending on what side you're looking for, if you want the Patriots, I suggest you bet now.
Yeah. Unless you're convinced it's going to come back down.
Yeah.
If you are, then I would wait. But if you want the Rams, as soon as it gets to 3, I unload if you want the Rams. If it's me,
let's see some news from the MGM. They're making their money, of course. One bettor at the MGM did win a money line bet, $500,000 to win $750,000. That stings.
Yeah.
But another player at the MGM lost $470,000 on 4 separate bets placed on Kansas City -3.
Mm.
Over at William Hill, they took a $345,000 bet on the Chiefs. And the books also made out well in the Rams-Saints game, thanks to the total staying under, which I knew that. I mean, that was... If you were over in that game, that's like the squarest side you could have taken.
Yeah, because on the surface, you look on both of them on the surface, you say, oh, we got to play over. But I thought the number on that game in particular felt too high.
But Jay Rude, who's the vice president out there of Race and Sports, said that the biggest victory of the week was the fact that Saints futures were killed off. They said, while we still made out great on the Saints game going under, the best part of the Saints loss was the futures bets we took over there in Mississippi. Apparently down in the South, they took a lot of bets.
I could see that.
We had a considerable liability on New Orleans in the Mississippi region. But what's done is done now, and it's on to the Super Bowl. So they said, we opened our – Jay Rude, this MGM guy, said, we opened our lines at Patriots minus one, and even then I knew it was a little different than some other major books had just posted. It just didn't feel right. We quickly moved the line to 1.5, took a couple big bets right away on New England, which moved us to 2, which is where we're sitting now. So still money coming in on the Pats. And if the line gets to 3, I'm putting it out there now. If the line gets to 3, that's where I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm not on board either way.
I don't know what I like in this game. I just know if I get 3, I feel like I'm getting value because I think that game's a pick 'em. So
yeah, I think it should be a pick 'em. I just don't. I don't have a good enough feel for either team right now to know which direction I would go. Because the reality is, I think the Rams are the better football team. But I'm not going to get in the habit of betting against the Patriots right now.
It's tough.
So. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. There's a lot of different energy providers out there. They're always offering different things, free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, you name it. They're going to throw it out there at you, and it sounds good up front, but then you fall for those offers, and then months later find out you're paying a higher rate or there's additional fees being put on your bill. Tri-Eagle, that's not how it works. They keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you're going to pay, period. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. It's just good, honest business from a good, honest, born-in-Texas company. Give them a call at 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TryEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN, PUCT license number 10064.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Got to tell you about the sports map. There's a Charlie Polillo video up on Rockets closing the book on the Melo saga, which...
R.I.P. Melo.
Yeah, I think we already closed the book. But got a golf column on will Tiger get his 15th. Have our soccer report from Victor. Jovan, who's our marathon runner, has the best foods for runners to eat before and after a run. Jermaine has a piece on how screw jobs are an unfortunate part of our sports culture, that people get screwed. And then if you go to the
other... I don't know if Jermaine should be writing that.
Why do you say that?
Because he's Saints fan.
Oh, well, yeah, he is. No question.
You know what Steven from Culture Map was asking me today?
What's that?
And then by the end of the conversation, I figured out, oh, you're also Saints fan.
I like to call him Stevie D.
Okay, Stevie D said, what do you think about the league giving the Saints a compensatory draft pick for the next 1 to 5 years? And I was like, for what? For screwing them. And so this ended up being my question. And you tell me, and there's going to be a different answer from you than there is from Saints fan. I can tell you that now.
Let me put on my Saints fan hat.
Put on your Saints fan hat.
Which means I have to take off my Maple Leaf hat.
You Saints fans out there, this question's for you. If that game had been perfectly officiated, which means the officiating crew had gotten every single call correct, called every holding that they might have missed, every PI that they might have missed.
Face mask,
whatever the penalty. And they missed that one. Would your feelings be changed at all?
See, I think it's worse. Isn't it worse if they get everything else right?
But all I'm saying is when you go into a game, and I mean, if you go into any sporting event and say the referees are going to miss one call out of all of them, you've got to be thinking, you know what? that's way better than I'm normally going to get. That is
no, I'm the exact opposite, because if that's the call you missed and everything else is right, I'm more pissed off now. Because that would be the most obvious call and the most flagrant. So, no, that doesn't make me feel better. It makes me feel worse.
That's my thoughts.
Because I look at the rest of the game, I saw a lot of bad missed calls that could have, and in the end, I think it might have all balanced out. It's just that one came at the most crucial time. But the reality is, if it's not balanced out and my team's getting screwed by that one call, hell no. Hell no.
Here's the way I look at it, and this is why, and it's, I understand the anger because of when it happened, but here's the deal. Let's say a football game is a glass of water and there's four marks on it, or three marks on it. So full is, you know, the full game, then one quarter down, so on and so forth until the very end of the game. If you drop one drop of food coloring into that glass early in the game when there's a lot of water in it, you barely notice. You know what I mean? You drop that red dot of food coloring in when there's just a tiny bit of water left and the whole thing's red. It looks like blood. So I see that's what's happened here, is that if that same exact penalty happened in the second quarter with 9 minutes left, that's not the narrative of the whole game.
But it didn't. And it happened at a crucial time of the game. It happened it was blatant, and it changed the outcome of the game because of when it happened. And you could say, well, they still had a chance to come back in overtime. They never should have been in overtime. And you put the Rams in a situation. Well, and again, I still say you run the football there on first down. I don't care if you get 0 yards. I mean, Sean Payton said it was a running play and they switched to a pass because they had everybody in the box. Well, I don't care about that. I'm going to run the ball there to run clock. It's not for yardage. It's not for anything else. It's just to run clock. And they should have done that. But all right, take all that aside. Reality is it should be first down inside the 5-yard line. Take a knee, kick a field goal, boom. That's it. And so, you know, and you could say, well, they might have missed a field goal, which is possible. You could say, well, the Rams might have gotten downfield in 25 seconds and gotten a field goal. Very possible, considering where Zerline hit his from. So, you know, all of those things possible. The reality is, though, if you get in that situation, you might actually score a touchdown down there, too, and then it doesn't matter. So, yeah, it changed the game. It was an awful call. There's no question. There's no way to really paint it any other way, but you know, the reality is, it's just, you know, and this stuff about going back and we're gonna sue and all this stuff, get over it. Once the final buzzer sounds, the game's over, and however you got there, it sucks, and I agree it sucks, but you can't go back and change time now.
But I mean, I don't know, I'm a big believer that, you know, something, and this was another thing that Stevie D said when I said, well, why should they be rewarded for that? Missed calls happen every game. And he said, well, it happened. It cost him a trip to the Super Bowl. And I said, well, think about it like this. If you're the Tennessee Titans and in week 8, there's a missed PI call that could have won you a game, but instead you lost. And then at the end of the season, you miss out on the playoffs by a game. You could argue, I mean, in a roundabout way, you could say that play cost us a chance to go to the playoffs, thus costing us a chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a stretch, though, because the reality is this was the NFC Championship game. You're there. It's not. And again, you have more games the rest of the season to get in the playoffs. This was your last chance. You lose here, you're dead.
If the expectation,
it's just not a fair. It's not a fair comparison.
If the expectation is that football games are going to be called perfectly by officials, then you're never going to get that.
Well, I don't expect that, but I don't expect outright incompetence like this. That was blatant. It's one thing to miss a PI call. That happens all the time. And I say what I've been saying for 3 years since the CFL started doing it. They should review PI calls.
That's my point. So this is why I don't think it's as blatant as I mean, obviously it was a big missed call. We could see with the naked eye it should have been called. But because it's not something that they could go back and review and say, oh, yep, that's PI. Had they done that and then still said, no, that's clean, then it becomes egregious to me. You know what I mean? And sometimes with these catches and no catches things, it's the same way. Like, let's face it, Dez Bryant caught that football. So if you don't believe that, then it becomes egregious because you're watching it over and over and still going, no, that's not a catch to me. So that's where I have a problem. With this, I mean, they didn't see it with the naked eye. It's a bang-bang play. I mean, calls get missed. It happens in every game. Happens in every quarter of every game. I understand the timing of it makes it hurt more. But
well, why do we demand excellence out of our players and not out of our refs?
I'm not saying we should.
I think you're kind of excusing them for this. And the reality is, look, refs choke too. I hate to break it to you. In the biggest moments, they will choke.
Yep.
Just like players do, just like coaches do.
So I've said all along, and I still stand by this, referees, umpires, officials from these sporting events, there should be, just like when you go after the game, you go back and you go to the road press conference, and then the home team has a press conference. There should be a road conference, a home conference, and an officials conference. And they should have to sit there in front of the media and answer questions. That's the right way to do it.
But I think going back and, you know, creating other scenarios and say, what if and what if and what if, we don't need to do that because we saw it right in front of our face. There's no what if scenario. It was something else. They blew the call. The NFL should come out and say, hey, listen, we blew the call. It happens.
I think they did, didn't they?
No, not officially. Nothing from the NFL.
They just told Sean Payton.
Yeah, Sean Payton said he talked to the league office, and they said they blew the call.
But they haven't said anything publicly.
No, there's no statement been made, no.
Yeah, there should be. You should own it. And, you know, that's the reality. No matter how you want to twist it, well, if this had happened in Week 7 or if this had happened in Week 9. No, this was the NFC Championship game, under 2 minutes to play, right in front of everybody's face, when everybody should be at their best. The players, the refs, the coaches, and guess what? They weren't. Sean Payton wasn't at his best. He didn't make a good call on first down. Players weren't at their best, and the refs damn sure weren't at their best. So to me, you can't change it, and you can't go back and do anything about it, but if you're a Saints fan, yeah, you should be pissed. So then, yeah, there should be some kind of punishment for that. So, yeah, I think it's unfortunate, but the reality is, you know, it happened. And you're right. If it happens in the first half, people bitch about it. But it didn't. It happened in that moment. And, yeah, I just think it's one of those things that, you know, Saints fans probably not going to forget for a long time. And it kind of reminds me, and this is before your time probably, the Mike Renfro catch for the Oilers against the Steelers, which to this day, I don't know if he was in or not. And no matter how many times you look at it, it was just controversial. But
I mean, that's like the Music City Miracle. You can watch that on replay 100 times.
Yeah,
and good luck.
And if they had ruled that a forward pass, you would have never been able to overturn it.
Nope.
And now in this case, though, it was just really it was so egregious, and it, you know, it looks worse and worse every time you watch it. But those guys don't have the luxury of going back and looking at it on replay. You're right. It was bang bang, and they just choked it. So, but it should be reviewable. I think any kind of judgment call like that should be reviewable.
Agreed.
But that's and again,
and Brian says every holding call game would take 12 hours. Agreed.
Yeah.
Drunk Bevo, make PI reviewable, but the problem is some form of PI happens almost every play, and that's true.
The same thing though. You get a challenge. You get your whatever number of challenges you have, and then in the last 2 minutes you would review it upstairs. It adds.
But that
to the
basically
reviews.
Means every time there's a pass thrown under 2 minutes, a coach can throw a flag and they can say,
"Well, no, the coach can't throw a flag in the last 2 minutes. It would have to be the same as it is now, where it goes. Okay. The league has to make the decision. The coach would have time to do it, and you're going to have
slow it down and scrutinize it. Then yeah,
I'll just tell you, it has not slowed down the game in the CFL that much. It's really made very. I mean. It maybe comes up twice a game. Maybe.
Well, with the PI, I'm not worried about it slowing down. I'm worried about the fact that there's some form of PI technically committed on every single play.
Well, I mean, I think you have to go by the standard of what they call on the field now.
Then when they have called it on the field?
Well, they should have. They didn't get it right, though. That's the point. You would have gotten it right here. If you go to review on that, there's no way you can't not call it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hey, guess what? New year, and maybe you're getting those credit card bills from the holidays, and you're thinking, whoops, these are getting up there. Well, that's why you should go to Lightstream, because they can lower your interest rate and you're going to save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. Save thousands in interest. The rate's fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your low rate won't budge. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Application is 100% online, no fees. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a low rate and an easy process. And how about this? Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.